Neredeyse bir kan hastalığı var diye. İbrahim Altorum.
I told you that is one of the school of thought about where this is supposed to be started in this school, and this is the school of thought where we are here. We shall be going to the back of that chair, and from there, I mean, we are going to do the entire chair very well for that. Here you can see the northern part of the shore. And a river carrying water from Mount Hermon from these three sources. That source from the top of Mount Hermon, Benias, Hasrani, and Dan. So the water is running from there, let's say, from here to the top of Mount Hermon, it's a meter of 40 miles. So the water comes from 40 miles all the way to the sea again. And we can see the northern part of the field there. Then, 14 miles from here is the southern part of the Sea of Galilee, and that is the beginning of the Jordan River. So it starts from the end of the Sea of Galilee, right through the Jordan Valley and enters the Red Sea, and the length of that river about 385 miles. Is it clear? Let's say 600 feet from here to 1,300 feet down below. Now, this is Mount Gerizim. This is where Jesus came in and stood here and opened up his mouth and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed be mourn, the hungry, the pure in heart." This is where he taught his disciples the Beatitude, and it is Greece also from here. And all the way to the seashore, down to the seashore, is the location of the multiplication where Jesus fed the multitude with the fishes and the loaves. They were more than 5,000, they were more than 25,000 people at that time, and they were standing from here all the way down to the seashore, looking at Jesus when he was breaking the pieces and feeding the people who were hungry and who were the church that you see in front of you, known as the Church of the Beatitude, built in 1936 by the Benedictine Church. It's the Benedictine Catholic Church. And this is the synagogue of the Capernaum or the Capernaum, which will be going there, which is in the 3 days beyond the sea. That is the means of the synagogue of the Capernaum or the Capernaum. We shall be going later on there to take a look at that synagogue, and we will discuss and talk many things about the Capernaum. Here, from the north all the way to the south, and I can see the beginning of the Jordan River from here, the beginning of the Jordan Valley from here.
Oh, you could see me on both sides, all right?
Which was mentioned in the Bible, that Jesus fed the multitude with the two fishes and five loaves. And who were the people who were living here at that time? They were the people of the 23 villages located at the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen and farmers. The inhabitants of Capernaum or Capernaum and Chorazin, Bethsaida, Julius, Magdala, Arbel, the people who were living here, I mean, they were making their living from fishing and from farming the land around. So Jesus gathered the multitude. There were more than 5,000, because if we are not counting women and children, I mean, there are 5,000, but with women and children, I presume the number was between 25,000 to 30,000 people who were here at that time and were listening to Jesus, and they were fed by him. Now I want to read the multiplication of loaves and fishes, the scripture of the Bible, which concerning the fishes and loaves. After this, Jesus retired across the Sea of Galilee, and there followed him a great crowd, because they were witnessing the signs he worked on those who were sick. So Jesus went up on the hillside, and there sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great crowd had gathered round him, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things, and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came, saying, "This is a desert place, and the hour is already late. They have nothing to eat." But Jesus said to them, "Whence are we to buy bread for these folk to eat?" In saying this, he was putting them to the test. He himself knew well enough what he meant to do. Philip answered him, saying, 200 silver pieces would not buy enough bread for them even to give each a little." And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." And when they had found out, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a young man here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many?" He said to them, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered them to make all the people recline in groups on the green grass. And they reclined in groups of 100 and of 50. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And the 2 fishes he divided among them all, and all ate and were satisfied. Now the number of those who had eaten was 5,000 men, without counting women and children. So this is the description, the story of the multitude and the fishes. Now, as you see, today you see remains of an old church. Let's say mostly the late floor of the Byzantine church, which was built in the beginning of the 4th century AD. And that church was destroyed by the Persians in 614. Now a new church built in 1936 by the Benedictine Catholic, just to protect what's left of the mosaic floor. It's a beautiful mosaic floor, still to be admired. By the author of the church, right here, please come to the side. If you look down there, you see the description of the 2 fishes, and the basket contains 5 loaves. 2 fishes and basket contains 5 loaves. I mean, it's showing, to me, I mean, it's an evidence. Why, when they built the church, why they made the description of the fishes and the 5 loaves right here by the altar of the church, that means they knew that this is the green grass where the people were standing at that time, and they made the description of the multiplication on this field. So the age of this mosaic is more than 1600 years old.
How many people they die for his?
He sounds like blood and gut patterns.
Well, they just realized that they're looking around here at the judgment of God that sealed everything.
May I have attention?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now here, Here we come to the synagogue of Capernaum or Capernaum. Now, you, the American, you say, what do you say, Mr. Foster?
Capernaum.
Yeah?
Capernaum.
Capernaum.
Capernaum.
Capernaum.
Capernaum.
Again.
But the proper pronunciation is Capernaum. Now, what is Kafar and what is Nahum? Kafar in the old Aramaic language means settlement. Nahum means compassion. So Kafar Nahum is the settlement of the compassion, and this is the meaning of what you say today in English is Capernaum or Capernaum, something like that. Kafar Nahum is the settlement of the compassion, and there was a synagogue in this town. And let's say Capernaum was one of the important cities or one of the important villages in this area, and mostly the people who lived here were farmers and fishermen. Peter, Simon, and his brother Andrew, they were born here. Jesus came to them and said to them, come and follow me, I'll make from you a fisher of men. So, Jesus used to come from the city of Nazareth all the way to Capernaum or Capernaum, and he made from this synagogue the center of his preaching, teaching, healing. It is where he taught the gospel and the kingdom of heaven, and it is where he healed every sickness and disease among the people. People used to come from Syria, Lebanon, Syria, Transjordan, as to listen to what Jesus is saying and to be healed with him. This is where he healed the man from palsy, and this is where he opened the eyes of the two blind men. When they came to him and they said to him, put us under your mercy, and he touched their eyes, and then they became seeing. This is where he healed the mother-in-law of Saint Peter from the favor. And this is where he raised the dead daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. You know, he was in the, Jairus, the dead daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. And he was in the synagogue, and they came to him and they said to him that she is dying. He said, I'm coming. And then they came to him once more and they said to him that she is dead. He said, no, she is sleeping. And they laughed. They won't believe it because they understand. They understood that already she passed away. Both, Sannuni. They understood that she's dead. So he came with Peter, James, and John and entered the house and said two words to her. Do you know what Jesus said to the dead daughter of the ruler of the synagogue? Do you remember? Huh?
Arise and walk.
Arise what?
Arise and walk.
That's your own language. Jesus never spoke English. Jesus never spoke English. He said to her two words in his language, and it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I mean, the same pronunciation. Jesus said to the dead daughter of the ruler of Israel, Talitha kumi. Talitha, I am telling you. In the Aramaic, Talitha, I am telling you. Kumi, arise, get up, stand up, wake up. This is the meaning of that. Today, in Arabic and in Hebrew, if I want to say to a girl, stand up, I have to say to her, Kum. If I want to say to a boy, stand up, I have to say kum. Kum to the male, kumi to the female. So Jesus said to her, Talitha kumi, I'm telling you, arise. And she came back to life. And then he said to the house, give her something to eat. And she was in the eve of Bethlehem. This is where he made the conversation with the centurion, that noble, who came to Jesus and he was trying to prove that he is rich enough. He has got enough money and he can go to heaven. He said to him, go and sell your property and give it to the poor. You shall build a treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, verily I say unto you that it is much easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to go to the kingdom of God. And the other day, when we were in the temple area, I showed you the eye of the needle. And now you understand what is the meaning of the eye. He said that right here. Jesus cursed this town. And he cares for us in the other town. You know, he said, Capernaum, Capernaum, or Capernaum, who are exalted up into heaven, shall thrust down into hell. A day will come that this town will be driven into hell. This is hell. Now when you come to Capernaum today, what do you see? You see nothing. All what you see just ruin. Isn't it? Just 5 months are living in that monastery. And after 4:30, you don't see, you see nobody here. It's just a town of ruin. You see that. Capernaum, who are exalted up into heaven, shall thrust down into hell. That means they will come. That this town will be driven into hell. And this is no more than this. Now the synagogue of Capernaum or Capernaum where Jesus used to come and to preach was destroyed. It's not in existence anymore. Today you see a ruins of a synagogue built in the 4th century A.D. Supposed to be standing above the site of the first one. So let's go there and take a look at the site of the synagogue of Capernaum where Jesus used to come and to preach, and we shall see the recent excavation took place by the Franciscan with the cooperation of the government of Italy. They have discovered the city of Capernaum, which dates back to some of these. So let's go there. I mean, we found a restless of the synagogue of Capernaum at the time of Jesus, which was built out of the black basalt stone. And there, on this side here, you see the town of Capernaum. You can see the city of Capernaum. That was the houses of the farmers and those who were living here, who were hungry, who were living here, making their living from raising, from farming the land and fishing fishing in the Sea of Galilee. So this synagogue that you see has nothing to do with the synagogue where Jesus used to come and to preach. This was built in the 4th century A.D., and this stone is not the local stone of this area. It was imported from the mountains of Samaria. But right here, right there, you can see what's left of the synagogue where Jesus used to come and to preach at the time, which has been found recently, just 2 months ago. What do you think this was made for at that time? I want everybody to listen carefully to me.
That's a cornbread maker.
Oh. Must be hungry when you say that. What do you say? You are right. This is an olive oil press. But how they used to press the olive? Can anybody tell how they used to press the olive at that time? Just a minute. First of all, you know, the olive has seeds, a big seed inside, and that is the problem. First of all, you have to get rid of what? Of that big seed which is in the olive. So they used to bring a sack made out of straw. See? And they have to fill it with olive, and they have to sew that sack. They have to place it there where the water is. Listen carefully. Now look at that round stone. In the middle of the round stone there is an opening. And that opening is supposed to be covered with wood. A big piece of wood. Then, that big piece of wood must be tied with the neck of a mule. See that? It has to be tied with the neck of the mule. Now, you have to make the mule walking. The mule has to carry the round stone and the round stone. That big piece of wood must be tied with the neck of a mule. See that? It has to be tied with the neck of the mule. Now, you have to make the mule walking. The mule has to carry the round stone, and the round stone has to step on the sack of the olive. Now, when that heavy stone has stepped on the sack of the olive has been separated from what? From the seed. They have to open it and to remove what? The seed. And what to keep? Only the olive. Then they have to sew the sack again and they have to put it on the top of this pillar. Now listen. Doctor, come and see this way of pressing it. After separating the seed from the olive, they have to put the olive back in the same sack and they have to sew it back. And they have to put the sack on the top of this white pillar. Isn't it? Then there must be a round stone. A big round stone has two handles. Two men must carry that round stone. One of them has to put his feet. See, there is an opening for his feet there. See, his foot, sorry. He has to put his foot there, and there is an opening for his hand. See? Mm-hmm.
He has to catch the handle of that round stone. Another man has to stand on the other side. And two of them, they have to carry that stone like this and dig the sack. And they have to keep digging the sack. They have to keep doing that. The oil will be squeezed. I mean, the olive will be squeezed. The oil will be running out and coming through that opening. All will happen. Now, you understand how they used to control it?
Right.
Then, you see where the water is? So, I mean, yeah, that means it's only the oil and the top will remain in that sack.
He was living among the graves, and no one could tell him even in the chair. And when he saw Jesus coming out of the water, he came to where Jesus said to him, "You, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, I adore you by God and not for men." Then Jesus said to that dominion, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And the unclean spirit came out of the man and entered a herd of swine. They were on the land of the very high. When the unclean spirit entered the swine, there were 2,000. They came from the land and they went into the Sea of Galilee. That means Jesus fed 25 or 35,000 people. They were hungry.
Yeah, I think that'll work out. Right? That'll freeze you a little bit.
Yeah.
Can't be denied, isn't it?
Soul on earth has the authority to transfer it. Baby!
You know what that is, don't
you? What mountain is a rainbow over?
That's a dog. A dog?
Tiberius. Over the mountain of Tiberius. Okay.
And the Golan, just where you'll be staying tonight. And tomorrow, from the Jordan River to the city of Nazareth, to the city of Haifa, Mount Carmel. We have lunch at Mount Carmel, and we will continue all the way from Mount Carmel to the former Sharon, to Caesarea, and Tel Aviv. So, tomorrow we are starting the tour at 6 in the morning. At least 1 o'clock will be at 12 o'clock. Suitcases outside your room at 4:45. Go to the dining room for breakfast at 5. And be ready
to be on the right at 6 o'clock. Does it touch you?
No.
Cry for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You dig?
Yeah.
You said it, but you don't mean it. Tomorrow we are leaving at 8:30.
8:30.
8:30. That means breakfast will be at 7:30. You can leave the suitcase outside the room 7:30.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kirk, the chauffeur.
Thank you.
Second miracle that took place in this little town, which is known as the town of Cana of Galilee. It is a city of 5,000 people. It's an Arab town and located just 5 miles east of the city of Nazareth.
Look at the beautiful houses out there, look at that. Beautiful houses out there.
the house. Then the big amazement. Did you notice the back of the church? Did you see that? You want to take pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little
farther. Listen, you got a sign with them. Okay, that's all right. Here, I'm going to stand here. You can take your time. Baptist Church,
Nazareth. I'm
trying to tell you, friend. You want to go out of the rest for a picture?
About the same temperament between the two.
Like right? The Arab and the Jews, you know, they are half brothers, if they go back to one father. Now that is what we call Marysville. It is the only spring in the city of Nazareth where Mary, Mother of Jesus, used to come and get the water, you know. With the jug, you know, on your head.
With a jug head on?
On the head, on the jug.
Oh. Yeah.
The hand comes at the most.
I think for trees, we are going to stop the bus here. And 10 minutes, I mean, you walk to the city of Nazareth, take pictures, I mean, you want to have a drink, please do, and then we come back to the bus here, okay? Okay?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
We are driving to the place of Hadron Kennedy.